You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning. Here at The Takeaway, we're conducting what we like to call America's Exit Poll.
Yes, this is Chris from Massachusetts, and I'm undecided. There's something that bothers me. I feel there's really been an undercurrent to make Palin and McCain look really stupid, which turns me away from Obama.
People are already voting in this election. Have you voted? What made up your mind for you? Which candidate did you choose? What are some of the issues that you're thinking about if you are undecided, as that caller was? We really want to hear your stories. We want snapshots of people making decisions as we head towards Election Day. Tell us your stories at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytakeatthetakeaway.org. We like snapshots, but William G. Jacoby is a professor of political science at Michigan State University and a research scientist at the University of Michigan, where he looks at voters and how they make their decisions from a much more clinical perspective. He is also the co-author of a major study of electoral behavior in the United States called The American Voter Revisited, which came out earlier this year. He's on the line from Michigan. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here.
Now, you call yourself a specialist on what voters think. Describe that, and what have you determined? Is it the issues? Is it the personalities of the candidates? How do people make up their minds?
Well, the major factor that we found in our work, and many, many other political scientists have confirmed as well, is partisanship. It is, for most people, the sense of personal attachment to one of the other parties that really sets in motion the decision-making process that leads to the decision that they make when they enter into the voting booth.
So is it just a question of tradition? Do our parents kind of stick it in our DNA? Is it some genetic component?
Well, believe it or not, there are some political scientists who now claim there is a genetic predisposition to partisanship. That's very new research, and I'm personally not sure how I feel about it at this point. But I'm comfortable saying it's a more mundane process where parents start it off. They transmit their partisan affiliations to their children. Most of us learn that we're either Republicans or Democrats very, very early on, really before we know much what that means. But then the interesting thing about partisanship is that for most of us, this feeling of attachment to a party continues pretty much unabated, and I won't say unchanged, but it's relatively stable for the rest of our lives, for most of us.
Professor, I'd like to bring in Todd Zwillick, who's with us today, riding along from the Capital News Connection. Todd.
Hi, Professor. As partisan as people are, and as your research shows it is, are there as many undecided voters as we think? I mean, in every election, 8%, 10%, 15% undecided. Are those people really undecided, or are they billing themselves as undecided?
I think the latter. I think there are people who, even if they truly believe they are personally undecided, the psychological mix is already set in their minds. You know, humans, social psychologists tell us pretty clearly that humans are not very good judges of their own decision-making processes. So I think I'm comfortable in saying that in most presidential election campaigns, by the time the general election campaign begins, there are really very few undecided voters. The citizens who do remain undecided, many of them won't vote.
Well, describe that mechanism for us, because clearly if you're paying attention to the trends of polls, it would seem that over a period of time, people do change their mind, whether it be from undecided to a particular party. I mean, let's apply it now. Barack Obama now has a greater lead in the polls against John McCain than he did 6 months ago.
Absolutely. Well, I think what a political scientist would say is that there's a difference between poll results and then what actually happens when people go into the voting booth. I'm very hesitant to place a lot of serious academic weight on pre-election polls, because the way people respond to questions about how they're going to vote are influenced by what's going on currently, the latest things the candidates have said, and so on. And so from a statistical perspective, there's a lot of noise in those responses. So that's why we see these big fluctuations around there, when in fact I think a lot of political scientists believe they can predict the vote months before the election.
So what do political operatives, the really talented ones, know about so-called undecideds or lack thereof, or people who change their minds, that the rest of us don't? don't, because Karl Rove is famous for saying to reporters, well, you may have the poll, you may have your numbers, but I have the numbers. I know what's going on with the electorate. What does he know that the rest of us don't?
Well, I think a lot of that is PR. I think a lot of that is blowing fluff, actually. I don't think they know much more. I think the political operatives we hear about in many cases are lucky over time. Karl Rove is probably an exception. Now, what's interesting about Karl Rove, I don't know him personally, but I do know some political scientists who do, and apparently he pays a great deal of attention to the scholarly political science literature and is much more attentive to this very theory that guided our book, this notion that partisanship starts it, and then things that happen subsequently don't have quite as much impact. So I think that's what really they're coming from, the successful ones.
And when you hear so much talk about it's all come down to the independents and the undecided voters, what does that say to you about what's happening in this campaign?
There are a couple of things going on there. I think when it comes down to the independent voters, there does remain a small percentage of independent citizens who will eventually turn out to vote. And of course, as we know, a lot of American elections are decided by very, very small margins. So in those cases, even though I could tell you that I can predict how the majority of the electorate votes, there's still that percentage that makes the difference there. I think, to be honest, I think this campaign is set at this point. I mean, we heard new poll figures this morning, and while I don't really trust any particular poll, the trend
right.
is very clear, and I don't think much is going to change between now and then, unless some external event
mm-hmm.
occurs.
Professor Jacoby, thanks so much for joining us, and I'd like to add, you're a very smart man to be at both Michigan State University and the University of Michigan.
Causes me
thanks.
Trouble during sports season.
I'm sure. William Jacoby is a professor of political science at Michigan State University and a research scientist at the University of Michigan. He is the co-author of a major study of electoral behavior, The American Voter Revisited. And now we go to Femi Okeh, who's an expert on the latest headlines.
Thanks very much, Adore. 28 minutes past the hour.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.